Lord, for your hand upon the mothers and mothers-to-be, future moms, spiritual moms. Lord God, I just pray right now for your special blessing upon them, Lord. We just thank you and praise you. And what I really love is being a grandmother. That is awesome. Because then you can rough them up and everything and then send them home. And then the house is so quiet. And it's like, wow. So I got to tell a grandma story this last week. One of the things I love to do when, because my grandkids are from ages 2 to 10. And there's 6 of them. But when they come over to my house, I like to chase them around the house. Because I have like this perfect circle. And so anyway, we just love it because, you know, they can all outrun me, but they can't all outsmart me. So if you can't be fast, you got to at least be smart, you know. So I'll hide in places, and then they're running around screaming, and then I come out and all that. And or I'll switch courses, or I'll sneak up on them. And so this last Wednesday, my 2 granddaughters were there. Chasing them around the house. Then I switch directions, and they're screaming. And I'm just getting into this one room. Addison, the 6-year-old, fell down. Didn't know she did. I trip over her. I'm flying through the air. And my thought is, uh-oh. This may not go well. And sure enough, the laws of physics kicked in. I think it's Newton's second law of motion, that you will stay in motion until an opposing force, and which was gravity. And I hit the ground. Bam. Well, I partially land on her. And then I landed on my shoulder that I'm getting physical therapy for. And so I'm laying there going, ah, and Addison's going, ah, and, but anyway, with that being said, no broken bones, you know, I'm getting up there, no broken hips, no bruises, my arm is just as good as it was before it happened, can't totally get it up there yet, but will I stop chasing them around the house? No, but I will try to be a little more careful next time. But anyway, praise God. All right. All right, there is a quote that I read a few weeks ago, and I just can't stop thinking about it. And I think she's going to pull it up for me. Ah, there it is. Orphans exert so much energy trying to get what they have been freely given in Christ. Let that sink in. And does that resonate with anyone? Sometimes that we just try so hard to be pleasing to God. The next quote, which is by the same man. We often emphasize the prodigal son who was lost outside the father's house, yet the older brother was lost inside the father's house. And now the next one. I am not sure which is worse. Is it worse to be lost and know you are lost, or to be lost in the very place of your inheritance? Think on that a minute. We're going to look at the prodigal son. Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. I'm just going to tell the story. Now, the thing with parables and the Word of God, I believe, is multi-layered. I believe that we can read the Word, we can read a parable, and it'll mean one thing to us at one time, and then we read it again, and it's something else the next time. And so sometimes people will say, well, that isn't what that means. And that's because they saw it in one layer, you saw it in a different layer. And so we're talking about this man has two sons, and Jesus is telling this story. And so the younger son, I'm going to call him Henry, just to make it easier. He asks for his inheritance. He leaves home. He squanders it on loose living, and he has no money left. And then on top of that, there's a famine in the land, and he's starving. So he goes and he gets a job feeding pigs. And he is even wanting to eat what the pigs ate, but he couldn't because, you know, it belonged to the pigs, not to him. And now that's hungry. That is hungry. And evidently it wasn't a thief because it doesn't say that he stole from the pigs. He just like, wow. He came to his senses and he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare and here I am starving to death? So he decides to go back home. He's going to ask for forgiveness. He would work as a hired hand as he was no longer worthy of being called his father's son. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And so it seems to me that the father was looking every day. He was looking every day for that small dot on the hillside coming. And so one day he sees that small dot. He sees Henry. Like I said, I just made up that name. I don't have any special, you know, insight. He ran to him and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son says to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So basically the father was saying, nonsense. And so he calls out to the servants and he says, get the best robe to put on him. And a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have filet mignon. The best. Only the best. That's what the fatted calf was saved for. It was the best. It was a time for a feast. It was time to celebrate this son that was lost but now found. Meanwhile, his big brother, and I'm going to call him Gary, he's coming from the field, and he hears the music and dancing, which is really interesting because nobody told him that there was a feast that was going to go on there. And he finds out that his scoundrel of a brother returned, and his father is throwing a huge party in celebration. He's angry, and he refuses to go in. Back then, we called them party poopers. After all, he had been there all along working in the fields. His father pleads for him to come in, and Gary tells him, the eldest son tells him, how hard he has worked for his father all these years, and he had never disobeyed his orders, and there has never been a party thrown for him. Not even a goat was served up. Yet this son of yours, which is funny, you know, he's like, well, this son of yours, it's not my brother, but this son of yours, has been squandering all your money, and he was with prostitutes, and he's just disgusting, and he comes home, and you do all this for him. So the father says, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was lost, and now he's found. We can see that neither sons had a close relationship to their father. And he loved them dearly, and everything he had belonged to them. But they each had their own hang-ups. One, the younger son was a party animal, and the older son was a workaholic. But neither one of them really had a relationship with the father. They were concerned about the inheritance, but not so much about the father. In Ephesians, in our home group, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 10, and I'm just going to give you a list of what it talks about here, and that is, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. We have redemption through his blood. We're forgiven of our sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. He makes known to us the mystery of his will, and he brings unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. On earth as it is in heaven, he's bringing those together. In Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, again, I'm just giving the highlights here. Those led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit we received brought about our adoption to sonship and testifies to our spirit that we are God's children. By him we cry out, Abba, Father. And Abba, Father is a endearing term. Some people will say daddy or papa. We are not slaves so that we live in fear. We are heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. That's just a few scriptures. It's all filled with our who we are and our inheritance in him. I don't want to be Henry and I don't want to be Gary. I want to be that one who knows the Father and is intimate with my Father. I commune with my Father. I talk to him. I enjoy being in his presence. I don't want to be lost. Definitely don't want to be lost in the midst of my inheritance. There's a few dreams I want to talk about. I go through seasons where I'll have a few dreams that I know that it's God talking to me. And dreams are the, I believe, are the language of heaven. And that sometimes we have dreams that we call pizza dreams. But I encourage you that if you remember them, and even no matter how strange it is, to write it down and ask the Lord, what does this mean? And so about a week or so ago, I had a dream. It's funny because the dreams I have that I call God dreams, where he speaks to me through them, usually my daughter Leah is in it. And so in this dream, I was watching her baby son. And actually, they have three sons. But this was evidently son number four because it wasn't one of the other three. And he was 6 months old. And I was at, it looked like White Oaks Mall, that area where the kids play. And the baby boy, he was sitting straight up. And in words really clear, he says, Shannon. It's like, and everybody's looking. It's like, well, that's kind of strange because it was just so clear. And so I said, say that again. And he goes, Shannon. I'm like, okay. And let me get to that. So in the dream, I call up Leah. I said, Leah, you'll never guess what. And I was hesitant to say her son's name. It's almost like I wasn't sure what his name was, which happened to me one time. Anyway, hate to admit to that one. But anyway, somebody asked me, what's his name? I'm like, So I didn't know if I was having a grandma moment or what happened. But anyway, and I said, Leah, you'll never guess what Carter said. And she said, oh, what'd he say? And I'm like, phew, I got it right. And so I told her, and the dream ended. So when I wake up in the morning, I thought, well, that's a pizza dream, because the interesting thing was the night before, Steve and I were watching a show, and the main character on there, one of the main characters' name was Shannon. So it just only made sense that it was a pizza dream. But it just kept sticking with me, and it's like, okay, Lord, you're saying something here. What is it? And so the first thing I looked into was he was son number four. So I looked up four in my concordance, and it refers to the fourth day of creation. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And I just felt at that moment the Lord was highlighting seasons. We're in a season here. We're in this new season. Okay. The name Shannon comes from the Shannon River in Ireland and means old wise river. Now, it's interesting because it ties into a dream I had a week earlier. And the dream that I had a week earlier, I'm going to give you some basics of it, but the Lord has given me a teaching on it. And I'm in a car. It's nighttime. It's dark. It's a two-lane road. Kind of looks like you're in the country. And so I'm going straight, and then there's a road that goes left. But traffic is stopped. And so I'm stopped, and there's cars behind me, and I see some cars ahead of me, facing me, and there's a line there. Don't know why we're stopped, just figured, well, maybe there's an accident somewhere. I don't know. Well, then it's time to go. I don't have any headlights. I have no dash lights. All of a sudden, no lights. I'm not even sure if the engine was even running, but all I knew is I couldn't go. Then all of a sudden, my window was rolled down, and a young lady points to a button on my car. And the button is a little black button, and it's S-I-O-N, Sion. She goes, press that. So I pressed it. All the lights came on, and I turned left, which I believe was the one way, and I'm going there. Next thing I know, I'm in this big warehouse, and I see some things here and there, but all I know is there weren't very many people there, and I was looking for my place. I was going to, you know, settle in one of the places there. That next morning, when I wake up, I said, Lord, what is S-I-O-N, Sion? I look it up, and it's another name for Zion, Z-I-O-N. A lot of our Bible translations say Zion. I think King James says Sion when I looked it up, S-I-O-N. I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So he's been showing me some things with that, but getting back to Shannon. The Shannon River in Gaelic, the Irish language, is, and I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's S-I-O-N. A-I-N-N. It's like, wow, you just keep bringing that back to me. Zion. And I heard this teaching, and like I said, I'm starting to study it, and the man was given all these different scriptures about Zion, and he said, Zion is always calling us to the journey. And I thought, yeah, I was in a car. That's another thing with dreams is, try not to get stuck into dream interpretation dictionaries and things, because we really need to ask the Lord what it is. Because I've heard for years that a car usually means it's your ministry. But then I heard somebody say, sometimes it's just a destination. And that's what I felt this was, that when I was in this car, it was a destination. So we have the River Shannon, has the word S-I-O-N in it. It also means, Shannon also means the possessor of wisdom, and in Hebrew it means God is gracious. So it's like, okay. So then I asked the Lord, what 6 months meant? Because this baby, Carter, was 6 months old. And I heard in my spirit, he asked, how many days is that? I go, 180? So I looked up 180 in my concordance. And it sent me to Esther 1, verse 4. And it says, for a full 180 days, he, which is the king, I don't know how to say his name, it's X-E-R-X-E-S or something, Xerxes or something. Okay, yeah, there we go. I knew somebody would know it. Displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people, from the least to the greatest, who were in the citadel of Susa. The garden had hangings of white and blue linen, so it talks about the mother and pearl and the gold and the silver. And then it says, wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other. And the royal wine was abundant in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink with no restrictions. For the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. I believe that God's really pouring out his wine. And he'll keep pouring as long as we keep drinking. And if we only want that much, that's all we get. But if we want more, he'll keep pouring it out and pouring it out. And that's what we need. That's what we definitely need in this hour. And I believe it's happening all over. I'm seeing where Sean Foyt is having, what is it, Worship USA? Is that what it's called? But yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, there are hundreds of people gathering, and they're on their face, and they're crying out to God, and he's in Seattle, and he goes into Houston and Florida and all over, and people are coming. They're wanting that, and they're crying out. And so I believe that there is an awakening for those who don't know him, who are coming in, but also he's reviving his people at the same time. Are we sitting at his banquet? Are we drinking his wine? We can have as much as we want. But how much do we want? The eldest brother, he wouldn't even go in to the celebration. He didn't even want to be part of the banquet. I asked the Lord, okay, Carter, what's the name Carter mean? When I look it up, it says transporter of goods by cart, a cart user. And I'm like, well, I know that's in the concordance, cart. I think the Ark of the Covenant came in on a cart. Psalm 65:11. So what first hit me there was verse 11, which you crown the year with your bounty and your carts overflow with abundance. Let's see. All right. So let's go back to the beginning of Psalm 65, because it was interesting. That is what caught my attention. And then when I read the whole Psalm 65, it talks about Zion. It's like, Lord, that's awesome. All right, let me get to my Bible hub. And this is from the NIV. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We have to live there. We have to choose to live there. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. That is our inheritance. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where mornings dawn, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water, which some translations say rivers, to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. I felt like the Lord was saying that it was interesting in the dream we were in a public place and there were people I didn't know. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, you are the cart that carries my abundance wherever you go. And there's people who need what is on your cart. There was one other dream, and it isn't one that I had. It was actually someone who told me this week they had a dream about me and my two daughters. And he said in the dream, and my two daughters, which are here, Leah and Sarah, they were actually younger in this dream. They were like, I think he said 9 or 13. And me and the two girls were on top of a two-story house on the roof, and him and his family were also, the one that told me the dream was on the roof. And he said that all of a sudden, I just went over to the side and just jumped off. And he said, I landed softly. And everybody's like, oh, wow, how did she do that? Well, immediately, Leah, she jumps off and she starts doing cartwheels in the air. And she's full of joy. I mean, she's doing it way better than I did it. And yeah, the laws of physics did not work in this dream. It was all God. And it was like she was drunk in the Holy Ghost. She was just so full of joy. And she lands softly. And then my daughter, Sarah, she jumped off and she started going really fast because the laws of physics was working on her. And but I just yelled out, you've got to have faith. And so the one that told me the dream said, as soon as I said that, She got it, and she just slowly lands on her feet. And one of the things that, well, there's a few things I saw from that, one of which, there's all different kinds of people. There are those who will just forge ahead and just jump off. It's like, oh, well, that's what the word says. I'm going to do it. And then somebody sees it, it's like, wow, okay. If you could do it, I can do it. And then there's the one who's, is fearful, but jumps, and, you know, like I said, halfway through, she got faith that God would take care of her. But then there's those, the one that told me the dream, he goes, yeah, me and my family, we just stayed on the roof. And then you have those who just stay on the roof, and they watch everybody else do it. And one of the things, when I was driving down the road, that's where I get a lot of these thoughts come in, and notice I went like this. These thoughts, woo. And one of them was, the house was two stories. And that really stuck to me. I felt like the Lord was saying, there's two stories. There's fiction and nonfiction. There's true stories. There's false stories. What story are you going to believe? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's not true. So, just kind of wrapping it up is basically, I want to live close to the Father. I want that fellowship and intimacy with Him. I do not want to be lost in His midst. And I believe we're in a season where God is pouring out. And we're seeing a great outpouring. And that we are carriers of His presence. And we do have to step out in faith. And it can be scary sometimes, but you just do it. You just do it. So, anybody with me on that? It's time. Our world needs it. Really bad. We need it. The world needs it. And it's exciting. It's just like with Leah jumping off and she's doing cartwheels in the air and things. Living the God, a life in God is exciting. Having a lot of times with dreams, like I say, I go through seasons, but it's exciting when God speaks to me through those, and I spend that time with Him. And He doesn't always show exactly what it is at that time, but little things. Oh, yeah, the other day as I'm driving down the road, I heard Him say, yeah, you know, basically in that dream about Sion in my car, the window was open. And so He was showing me, yes, there's an open window. The windows of heaven are open. You have to press, you have to have the light to go anywhere. And there is a destination. I heard, like I said, I'm starting to study about Zion. And there's this, I was listening to this man who teaches on it. And he was just talking about how the people of God are not city builders. We're going to that city. That it was others, like the Jebusites and the Canaanites, they would build the cities. God's people just dwelled in them. We go to the city that's made by God. So it's like we're going to Zion, but we are Zion, and we're building Zion. And so I'm listening to this guy, because he's given all the different scriptures, and I'm like, and he says, hold on with me, eventually you'll get it. And I'm like, okay. But there was that open window. And so I just believe we're in a wonderful time. We're just in a glorious time. And I am so excited. I am so excited about what God's doing. I believe that He is going to give people dreams and visions. I believe that He's going to give all of you words of knowledge, that you will see somebody and you'll know something about them and you're afraid to say anything. Just speak it out, because what's the worst thing they could say is like, I don't know, who are you? You know? But a good amount of time, you're right on. A little story. I'd given a piece of prophetic art to someone. A prophetic art just is God inspired, you know. And on this little card, it just said, you will know what to do. Okay? So I'm at County Market. This is a few years back. And there's hardly anybody there. And I'm like, I see this woman, and she has a couple of her teenage kids there. And so I go, here, I believe God wants me to give that to you. And she looks at it, and the kids are looking at me like, who does that, really? And I'm like, blessings. But one of the things that I always say is that it will find its target. God will make sure that it gets where it needs to go. Well, come to find out, I never expected to ever hear back about this, okay? So a week later, Amy Bachman. She goes, did you do an art piece that said something about you'll know what to do or something like that? And I go, yeah. She goes, well, I saw on Facebook with some of my friends that someone had said that someone had given her a card that said that, and when she looked at it, she got in the car. She goes, I know who that's for. She drove over to this woman's house, and she gives it to her, and they all just start crying and sobbing because the woman's like, yes, God is speaking to me. I mean, that's the exciting life. That's the exciting Christian life, is when we step out, and we may not ever know what happens. I was just blessed. I never expected to know. But that was awesome, and it just really spoke to me. So even if someone takes what you give them, if you give them something, they throw it on the ground, the person that needs it is going to be walking by. So it will hit its target. There is a video I want to end with. It's Crowder, Back to the Garden. And I think it just goes along with what I've been sharing. So we're going to play that.
I was born to be royal. I was made to be free, but I was torn from the garden when that devil lied to me.
If you want to come up to the altar, you're welcome.
I was born from the soil. Thank you. to be royal. I was made to be free.
Amen. If you would like prayer, please come forward. Or if you just want to spend some time in his presence. Certainly one here that needs a healing. Everybody good? What? You could use prayer. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord God. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you for your presence upon John right now, Lord. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, we just thank you that you are meeting all of his needs. We thank you for healing to come upon him in Jesus' name. And right now, I lift up everyone here, Lord God. And I thank you for your presence upon each and every one. I thank you, Lord, that we are carriers of your presence. That you are pouring out upon each and every one of us. And we are to be the carriers, the cart that brings it to those who need that, Lord God. That we are not afraid. We are bold as lions. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Oh, we need you. We need you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We need you. Oh, right now, let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Minister to you right now. Don't go until he touches you. Let God sing over you. Thank you for your ministering angels.
I found peace inside of me. Oh, I can finally breathe again.
I think there's somebody here that has something to share, whether you saw a vision or something on your heart. Is there somebody here? Jump off the roof.
Yes. While we're worshiping, I really just felt like Lord was talking to me about this, but this really connects with Zion as well. But Bible says that, you know, who will ascend the hill of the Lord but him with clean hands and a pure heart? And as we're doing communion, just felt like it was connecting with when Jesus said, after he had performed all the miracles and cast out the devil from many different places, he said that, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no part in me. And many people could listen to his teaching before that and accept it, but up to that point, they just left. A lot of people left, many did. And I feel like this connects because the hill of the Lord, I believe, is Zion. And whenever the Jews used to ascend the hill of the Lord, you know, and they used to go into this tabernacle. It was beautiful. And they used to go in the inner courts once a year, and they would ask God to take away their sins, because that's what they were instructed to do, to follow the law. And it was a picture of who Jesus is now. And I really see that as what God's saying right now to his church, to us, is to ascend that hill in our hearts, because now we don't have to go into this court. We now eat the flesh and we drink the blood of Christ. We're baptized into his death as he asked us to be. And that's what just really the Lord was working on in my heart to share. And we're now, if we accept Christ, into that place where a royal priesthood. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go anywhere specific to accept from God. We can go into and ask him right now. That's all I have to share.
Yes, Carla. This morning we were getting ready to leave for church, and the kids, we were pulling out of the driveway, but Steve was standing right at the van looking at the porch, and he said, "Look at that bird." And there were two birds, and they were just sitting. One was sitting there, I think, on the porch, and the other one was on the roof. And he's like, "I've never seen that kind of bird." And then he's like, "I think it was a pigeon." And then he was like, "No, it's a turtle dove." And there were two of them. And so I'm like you, Jan. I'm like, what's the meaning of this? Because they're just there. And so Steve gave his phone to Louisa, and he said, "Hey, you know, look up what a turtle dove means." And they're faithful birds, and they mate for life, and they build a family together. And they were like perched right on our, and they stay together, and they build a family together. And I just thought that was very meaningful today, so I just wanted to share that image.
Yeah, always look for God talking.
I'll be very brief. So I haven't been to worship for a little bit, and I was also like 30 minutes late, but like immediately upon entering into this building, like I could feel the Holy Spirit, and that's really great feeling. And there was this specific moment in time when we were singing the last chorus that my heart was really engaged, and I could feel the room being engaged as well. And you can feel the corporate cry and praise of just like this moment of being like, "God, you are worthy, you are holy." And I could, hearing angels, it sounds like really weird. You're like, "Oh, that's kind of weird." But it's not a hearing, it's a feeling, and I've only heard it twice, and that was today, and also a different time during the program at the old building. And that's a really special thing, because to have that, I feel like the Lord was saying, and like, this is the heart of worship, and we have that, like, that's so rare to find, and we had that, and we have that here this morning. And it was just such a simple moment of just being with the angels and singing with them, and I felt that they were here, and I had this moment where I was like, "Angels are here," and I felt really weird. I was like, "Oh, Kenzie, you're being weird," and then Jan confirmed that, and then I was like, I really had this moment where Jan confirmed it, and I was like, "Ugh," like I just started crying, because I was like, "Wow, like thank you, Lord," and like just knowing that in those simple moments where like nothing crazy is going on, but just the angels are here and they're corporately responding with us. And that is so rare to find, and it's so beautiful. So just thank you, guys.
Yeah, just real quick on the angels. When I said that I saw them around and I saw incense go up, I forgot that the next part of that song was day and night, night and day, let incense arise. I go, wow, that is really cool because I saw that incense going up like through the middle.
I just felt encouraged or pressed upon to encourage someone here, and I don't know exactly who it is that I don't know when I was up here. When I took that position of getting past myself to come up here, I've just felt like the heart of the Lord. And whenever he comes upon me in a tangible way, I cry. And I was just bawling because I felt his heart. And it's not that he wasn't loving on me, because he was, because he's good. But I feel like it was he was showing me his heart for someone in here who feels so broken. Who beats himself up for making a lot of bad decisions in their past. There's someone in here carries the weight of shame. In the midst has been heartbroken. And I just want to encourage you, even if it's just for one person, but it might be for a couple more, so if this is you, you take it. Know that God is next to you. And he is with you. And he cries and he mourns with you. I think when Jesus said, mourn with those who mourn, it didn't just mean those on earth. I think it means, too, like he mourns with you. And when you have joy, he has joy with you. And it's okay to be in a hard place. And it's okay. And maybe this is for somebody who's been a believer a long time. Maybe this is for someone new, but you just need reminded because the voice of the enemy can be loud. But it's he's a liar. He's a liar. Two stories, yeah. And so he's next with you. He's next to you. He's not upset with you. He doesn't look at you and say, how dare you, like maybe some earthly fathers or maybe some friends that you've had might accuse you of. But he's with you, and he just says, I will sit with you, and I will mourn. You let it out, and I'm here with you. And I will help mend your heart in the midst of those tears. You don't have to do anything. But just allow your heart to go there. And that next moment you feel yourself under that weight, God, I ask that whoever this person is, that when they feel themselves under that weight of shame, when the voice of the accuser comes at them, God, that you would put a shield around them and that you, Holy Spirit, will speak a reminder to their heart that you are near, God, and that you would lavish your love upon them, that you would pour out your tangible presence upon them so that each and every time, God, that they go to that place, that you bring them out quicker and you bring them out stronger and you bring them out, God, with truth and with clarity and with victory, God, so they can continue to minister to those around them, that they can pour out to those around them, God, that this would be a part of their testimony of a good God, not a God that they read about, not a God that they just hear about, but a God that they know, a God that they walk with, a God that they have a relationship with, a God that they hear, a God that they feel, a God that they know with every fiber of their being loves them and cares for them and has them in every step of their life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Anyone else before we go? All right.
Now this week, God's been talking to me about crying. Tears. What an interesting thing. And basically, God was just saying how he is so much more connected to our hearts and even to our pain than I have any idea about yet. I felt like God said to me personally, he said, well, Larry, you know, when you grew up in some of the situations you grew up in, You put just lots of walls up to protect yourself to survive emotionally. And there was a lot of pain and hard things that happened to you growing up. But Larry, you were so walled off to survive that you didn't cry much. You never cried. You didn't rejoice much either. You were just so locked down emotionally that you're just walled off from good or bad emotions, just any emotion to try to survive. And I felt like God said, well, even though you didn't even cry back then, I actually cried for you, with you. I was with you. And even though you weren't crying, I was crying. I could even feel your pain more than you could feel it. And I care, and I want to heal and restore. And I know there's a scripture that says, you know, Jesus wept. I never meditated on that scripture. Why would I meditate on that scripture? What an odd scripture. Coming from my background, seemed very odd. But God is trying to break through our hearts and minds so that we can believe in our deepest hearts that every pain, every loss, every trauma, He saves all our tears. And I have a suspicion He has more tears for us than we have for ourselves.
All right. Well, that was awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. So, yeah, happy Mother's Day again. Some of you are going to go see your mamas. But anyway, have a blessed week. And so glad to see y'all. Happy that you're here. All right, thanks. Bye.
Come, let us bow down before Him. His banner is love over us. And His mercies are new every morning, and I'll sing, oh.
Hello, maker of the moon. Your creation has inspired my every move. You're the science in the stars. There is beauty, there is fire in your eyes. Here we are, face to face, lost in wonder at the God of time and space. The universe declares your praise, singing holy, holy is your name. I can feel your heartbeat beating. I can hear my God is speaking. King of creation, breathe upon me. You can feel my heartbeat beating. You can hear my spirit screaming. King of creation, you amaze me.
Hello, maker of the moon. You were there when I was in my mother's womb. I come out of agreement with the lie that you have left me on my own. Oh, I am not alone. I come out of agreement with the worry and the fear I've come to know. No, they won't have a hold on me. Come into agreement with what heaven has declared over my life. 'Cause I know that you fight for me. Protector, you never, never, never let me go. You said you wouldn't leave me and you won't. Or torment me. No weapon, no worry will prosper against me. No darkness, no evil will tease or torment me. Oh, power, dominion, to what name is given? My fortress, my freedom, my refuge, my Jesus. Oh, power, dominion. Protector, you never know.
against me. No darkness, no evil will tease or torment me. No weapon, no worry will prosper against me. No darkness, no evil will tease or torment me. All power, dominion, to one name is given. My fortress, my freedom, my refuge, my Jesus. All power, dominion, to one name is given. My fortress, my freedom, my refuge, my Jesus. Protector, you never, never, never let me go. You said you wouldn't leave me anywhere. You're right by my side. Protector, you hide me in the shadow of your wings. Your presence is my peace, my covering, my song in the night. Protector, oh. Protector.
I scaled all the highest of mountains, and I stood at the edge of their peaks, but I still couldn't see to the edge of your love for me. And I walked on the wildest of waters, and I sunk to the depths of the sea, but I still couldn't fathom the depths of your love for me. Canyons wide, oceans deep, can't contain all your love for me. No matter how high or far I reach, there's no end to your love for me. And I wrestle belief in the valley, and I barely hung on through the night, but just when I thought